You're listening to Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry from the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Winnsboro, Louisiana. Joseph's encounter with Potiphar's wife. Joseph's encounter with Potiphar's wife. Today on Words of Encouragement.
But as we look at this morning, we follow Joseph. All right, you know we looked at Joseph in the coat of many colors. And so Joseph, a man with a colored coat from his father, his brothers, you know, hating him for being the favorite, his brothers having conspired to kill him. They hoped to rid themselves of him. Will their father now favor them more if Joseph is gone? I'm thinking that's their hope. Will God, or will their father pick a new favorite? Because Joseph is not there. We don't know what they're thinking. We really don't know the thinking. We know they're jealous of Joseph. We know that they do not care for him, and they don't like the favoritism in the family. And so they have sold him into slavery. What we do know, we find in verse 36 of chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, verse 36. Bible says, or if you would, stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God. This morning, if you are able and willing, the Bible tells us, meanwhile, the Midianites sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, Pharaoh's officer, the captain of the bodyguard. May God bless the reading of His Word this morning to our hearts. I invite you to be seated. Now, you have a boy, young man. He's living in his house. He's with his family. His brothers have sold him into slavery. His entire world has just been changed. All that he knows, all that he's familiar with, all that he's seen, you know, gets up in the morning and sees and leaves and all the sheep, the cattle, just everything that he's familiar with, and it's changed. He's no longer with his family. There is nothing like being cut off from your family. Now, I don't know that personally. I know that when we went to see, what was it, the USS Alabama as children, and we walked with my mama and my daddy, I remember seeing my mom turn around and say, "Where's Doug?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. I mean, we're little kids. I don't know." And we look back and we see my brother walking up a ramp to go into a submarine, something down there, and he's following a dress that looks very much like my mom, but it's not mom. And it was like, oh my goodness, and my mother ran over there to get him and bring him back. But he was separated, but he didn't even have a clue. He didn't know. He was just following the dress in front of him, and it just happened to look like mama, and there he went. Well, that's not the case with Joseph. This was a push out of the family by his half-brothers. Now, what we just read gives us an idea of where Joseph is and who he is with. Now, remember, Israel, Jacob, daddy. His dad thinks he's dead. Okay, remember this. Now, Joseph is not dead, but dad thinks he is. They've pulled this over on their father, and he thinks he's dead. So, he's very much alive. He's living with Potiphar in Egypt. Now, chapter 38 deals with the more sinful nature of one of the half-brothers, Judah. But then let's look over at chapter 39 of Genesis. In chapter 39, there's a little detour there. We learn something about Judah and his issues and problems that he has. But then we return to the story of Joseph. And so let's look at verses 1 through the first part of verse 6. It says, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Now the Lord was with Joseph." Did you catch that? Those are very important words right there. Very important. The Lord was with Joseph. So he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him. Oh, the Lord was with him, and other people noticed. I love that. And so the Lord is with him. So he notices here and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Obviously, this Joseph is favored by God, not just by his own dad, but by God himself. So Joseph found favor in his sight, talking about Potiphar, and became his personal servant. And he made him overseer over his house. And all that he owned, he put in his charge. Whoa! And it came about that from the time he made him overseer in his house and over all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Whoa! Having Joseph in the house brought blessing to the house. Yes. Amazing how that is working here. Thus, the Lord's blessing was upon all that he owned in the house and in the field. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. So Joseph becomes prosperous in all that he does. He finds grace and favor in the sight of his master, the Egyptian. And this Egyptian is so delighted in Joseph that he puts Joseph as overseer over his house, and all that he had is put in his hand. Under Joseph's direction, in other words. Notice, Joseph is a servant. Joseph has been sold into slavery. Joseph should be just more or less in the field working. That's kind of what was happening when you were bought as a slave. You went into the field. But what did that say? The Lord was with Joseph. So something is different here. Something is different. Joseph doesn't get to work in the fields. He gets to stay in the house. The master even saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So we see in verse 5 that because Joseph is there, the Egyptian's house is blessed. The field is even blessed. And Joseph is over it all. Joseph's conditions have changed. He went from the pit to a place of service, but serving in a way that he was over a lot of things that normally a servant shouldn't be over. He's put in a place of wealth. But something to note here, his character has not changed. Notice how comfortable Potiphar is with Joseph. Look at the first part of verse 6 again. So he left everything he owned in Joseph's charge. Did you catch that? Everything he owned was left in Joseph's hand. From personal servant to overseer in the house and all that he owned. But look at the rest of verse 6. And with him there, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Or the bread that he used to eat. Now look, there's some dietary restrictions here that come into play. And so Potiphar ate some things that Joseph didn't, but everything else was overseen by Joseph. Now think about this. Potiphar, all he has to worry about is what is he going to eat that day? What's he going to eat that day? Look, Joseph is over everything. He doesn't worry about it because God is with Joseph. Joseph's over everything. He's like, Joseph, I'm going to let you take care of it all. I'll just worry about what I'm going to eat next. Now, boy, doesn't that sound like the life? All I need to do is worry about what... Some of us don't want to worry about what we're going to eat. We just want to eat. Amen? Oh, you can agree with that. Come on. But what is happening here? There's a huge trust in Joseph. I mean, this is big to allow someone, a slave, to come in and then you just say, well, you know what? I'm going to put you over everything. Some of us wouldn't allow even a family member to fix something that's broken at our house, much less be over everything. And this is what's happening here. Potiphar says, you got this. Huge amount of trust. Why? Because Potiphar saw that having the Lord with him, Joseph was able to bring blessing to his own house. So there's something about this Lord being with Joseph that Potiphar noticed. Well, what about you? What about you? Can others see God in you through how you speak, through how you act, Through how you treat others? Are people noticing God in you in the way that you treat others? I'm telling you, there's something to be said for that. Is it difficult for them to see God in you? Let me tell you something. Don't make it difficult for people to see God at work in your life. Don't make it difficult. Don't make it to where people have to wonder or guess. I don't know. I think they belong to God. I just don't know. I'm watching how they live. I'm watching how they treat people. I'm watching how they do business. I'm really concerned. I just don't know. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you. You're a child of God. Let people know it. And let them see God at work in your life. Yes. It should be noticeable. So take some time to think about that today. Would you just this afternoon, can others see God in me? Can others see God at work and in my life? How would they see that? Think about that. As believers, our godly conduct will be evident all around us. Our godly conduct will be evident to everybody around us. Second thing we see, Joseph catches the eye of Potiphar's wife. Oh boy. Look at the second part of verse 6 there. It says he did not concern himself with anything except the food which he ate. And let's look at the last part. There it is. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Joseph was a good-looking guy. The Revised Standard Version translated, he was handsome and good-looking. King James says he was goodly and well-favored. The actual Hebrew word means he was fair and beautiful. He was beautiful. Easy on the eyes, we would say. Not hard to look at, we would say. There he is. He's handsome. The only other men in the Bible who are referred to in this way are David and Absalom. Being handsome, listen, being handsome is not a crime. But to the wandering eyes of Potiphar's wife, it does play a part in what almost leads to an immoral situation in the case of Joseph. Now, I'm not blaming Joseph because he was good looking. He was just good looking. That's the way it happens. I've seen so many in my life, you know, and thought, well, you know, look, they're so good looking. You know, some people, that's what happens. I don't know. But it should not lead to anything immoral just because they're good looking. That should not happen, but sometimes it does. Look at verse 7. It came about after these events that his master's wife looked with desire at Joseph. And she said, lie with me. Now I want us to go back to where it says, looked with desire. In the Hebrew, that is that phrase that we looked at, I think, last week. No, it was when we looked at Abraham. It was that lifted up her eyes at. So in the Hebrew, it says his master's wife lifted up her eyes at and with desire at Joseph. So there's something coming along. Something's happening here. Oh, what is this? What is this? So the Hebrew writer here is bringing us along. You know, something, something's not good, or something is good. Something is about to happen. She lifted up her eyes at him, and she looked at him in a way she shouldn't look at him. She focused on him. Now, this wouldn't be a horrible thing, except that she is married to Potiphar. I mean, this is not what you do. She is only to lift up her eyes at him. He is her husband. Potiphar's wife seems to have some issues that she needs to resolve between her and Potiphar. Either she has some issues or she and Potiphar, maybe there's something going on that's not, you know, it's just not a good marriage. I don't know, but something has allowed her to think that it's okay for her to look at Joseph as she is supposed to be looking at her own husband. And she asks Joseph to do things that only she and her husband should be doing. Look at verses 8 and 9. But he refused. Whew. Hallelujah. You know, there's somebody good in the house. I mean, there's somebody following the Lord. There's somebody that had some values here. It says, but he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, with me here, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. and he has put all that he owns in my charge or in my hand. Verse 9, there is no one greater in this house than I, and he has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do this great evil and sin against God? Now, wow! Joseph could have simply said, you know what? No, I'm sorry, I'm out of here. Oh no, he goes ahead. He takes the extra step. And he explains why he's not doing this. Now, you want to be a bold witness for God? Go ahead, explain yourself. Go ahead and say, be brave, be courageous, and say, look, I would sin against God if I were to do this. This is what I truly believe. I'd be sinning against God. I'm not doing this. And you don't have to be a jerk about it. You don't have to be high and mighty and pious and say, oh, well, I'd be sinning against God if I did that. You know, obviously you think it's okay, but oh, not I. We don't have to be like that either. But Joseph explained why he wasn't going to do this. And I love him for it. I love the fact that he explains it. He just says it. He puts it right out there and says, look, I'd be sinning against God. I'm not doing this. Joseph may have authority over a lot of what Potiphar has, but oh boy, doesn't mean he has free rein to do whatever he wants to do. He actually gives three reasons for not doing what Potiphar's wife wanted. The abuse of trust. There was a deep trust between he and Potiphar. That's number one. Number two, it would be an offense against her husband. He'd be sinning against her husband. And thirdly, a sin against God, which really, you know, should be the first. But he sees it, he understands it. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's not going to do too. Do you hear his character? Do you hear his integrity? Do you hear his loyalty to God coming through these statements? Do you see? Oh, I love this. Joseph is, he doesn't stick up a little Christian flag and run around in front of Potiphar and say, oh, we don't do this kind of thing. No, he makes it very clear, this is a sin against God, and if I were to do this, I'd be sinning against God, and I am not doing it. This is who I am. Take it or leave it, this is who I am. And so Joseph is very clear. I love this. Look at verse 10. And she spoke to Joseph day after day. He did not listen to her to lie beside her or to be with her. She just keeps it up. Keeps tempting, keeps saying, oh, come on, you know, be like my husband with me. No, no, no. No, no, no. She has a husband. Remember, she has a husband. She doesn't need another one. Wow, could you imagine? Anyway, goodness, all the care that you have to train a husband, you know, all that. Anyway, look at verse 10. She just doesn't give up easily. Day after day, she spoke to Joseph. Day after day. Notice Joseph doesn't listen to her. She wants to do the wrong thing. Joseph wants to do the right thing. He ignores her. As a child of God, you and I have the power to resist temptation. You and I have the power to say no. We can say no. The power that has been given to us by God Himself empowers us, enables us to say no to temptation. Joseph did it. We can do it. Joseph's not any more special than you are or I. He's not even more special. Look at this. He says no, so can we. We have the power to say no to sin. God is with us. He is with us. And with us comes His power. Yes. With us comes His enabling and empowering power to help us to say no. And so we can. As believers, we always need to be on guard against immorality. We need to be on guard. On guard all the time. I know it's like, golly, Brother Craig, there's so many things to think about all the time. Yeah, okay. Follow Jesus. Okay? I sum it up in all of this in just a little phrase. Follow Jesus. Look to Him. He will lead you in the right direction. He will guide you down the right path. He will put you where you need to be. You follow Him. I'll do the same. We'll do it together. But this is what we do. And when we do it, we can say no to sin. We need to be on guard against immorality. It can pop up anywhere. It really can. The last thing we see that Joseph is imprisoned. He's imprisoned. Look at verses 11 and 12. Now it happened one day that he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the household was there inside. Oh boy, that didn't sound too good. Almost sounds like a little setup, wouldn't you say? She caught him by his garment, she being Potiphar's wife, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and went outside. Man, get out of there. Just get out of there. So on a normal day at work, Joseph goes to the house, finds himself alone with Potiphar's wife. Something's not right. She grabs his cloak. She grabs his garment, which is this outer garment, and he takes off. He just leaves. He says, "Oh no, I'm getting out of here." No. He says no. Look at verses 13 and 14. When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled outside, she called to the men of her household and said to them, "See, he, her husband, has brought in a Hebrew to us to make sport of us. He came in to me to lie with me, and I screamed." What? Verse 14. Wow, he brought in a Hebrew to make sport of us. What in the world? My. First, let's look at that phrase, "in her hand." It also carries with it the meaning of "in her power." When she saw that he had left his garment in her hand. She's got power. She's got power now. She's got some evidence of something that didn't even happen. But she's got something she can use against Joseph. She's got his outer garment. Oh boy, she can tell whatever lie she wants to. And she does. She now is in charge of Joseph's future. His fate is in her hand. She tells the men she screamed or cried out with a loud voice. And when she did, he ran out and left his garment behind her. She leaves Joseph's garment beside her until her husband comes home and then tells him the same lie. "Oh, Potiphar, oh, he came and he wanted to do things that she shouldn't do. And I screamed and he ran out and left his garment right here. Oh, it was horrible." She's lying. She's keeping the lie going, and she tells her own husband. Now, Potiphar hears the words of his wife, and the Bible says his anger burned, or his wrath was kindled. Oh, man, I love the language of the Bible. That's just a wild man. His anger burned. His wrath was kindled. Oh, boy, he is getting upset here. Here he has this slave who is a model of character and whom he has allowed to be over everything he has. And he's trusting this Joseph. Things are going well. And now this has happened. Can you say, "Ugh? Ugh." It's not a great day in Potiphar's neighborhood. It's not a good day. It's not a good day in the house. The Bible tells us Potiphar throws Joseph in jail. Now, wait a minute. That sounds good. Okay, look, that's what, I mean, look, oh, yeah, get him, put him, wait a minute, put Joseph in jail. Put him in jail. He has come up to your wife and wanted to do things that were not to be done except between husband and wife. And, yeah, put him in jail. That sounds fine. Unless you understand that at that time, death, or at the most being sold as a lower degree of servant, would have occurred in a situation like this. Jail wouldn't have happened. Death, or being sold away from the family as a lower slave, that would be the most that could have happened, or the least that could have happened to him, to be sold again. But there seems to be something in Potiphar's mind that maybe there is some doubts as to the story that's being told to him by his wife. There is something not right. So he takes Joseph, he puts him in jail. He doesn't kill him. He doesn't send him away. He puts him in jail. So this tells us something's not quite right, that Potiphar's not totally believing this story. But it makes him mad enough. Something's not right, he feels, and he puts him in jail. Look at verse 21. Oh, look at that. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. And what does God do? And gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. This is amazing to me. God is with Joseph, and he has favor in the eyes of Potiphar. And Potiphar just says, hey, you got all this. I'm going to let you take care of all of this stuff for me. It's just great. You just do that. Well, then when he goes to jail, God says, you know what? I'm going to have favor on him. The chief jailer is going to like him too. Wow. What is this? Look at verses 22 and 23. The chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge, or put in Joseph's hand, all the prisoners who were... Now, I wouldn't believe it if it weren't in black and white in God's book. I just couldn't believe this. That he would go this far and allow Joseph to be over the other prisoners? What in the world? What is God doing? God knows what he's doing. God is fully aware. It says he gives to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the jail so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. Now, some of you might say, oh, I don't want that responsibility. Holy cow. I don't want that. But this is Joseph, and this is God, and this is God doing what God does. This is God at work in the life of one of his children. This is God's hand at work. All the way through the story of Joseph, you're going to see this is all of God, and this is just Joseph. I mean, he's almost like a little puppet, like a little stick puppet. You know, he's there, and God moves him. And moves him. But he also operates on his own. He has a brain. You have a brain. Now, some of you may have doubts, but most all of us have a brain. We do. And God allows us to use our brains to think and to analyze situations. And that's what happened when Joseph was there with Potiphar's wife. He said, oh no, I know better than this. God didn't grab hold of Joseph and yank him out of there. Joseph said, oh no, I know better. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm out of here. He understood. The same as you and I. We understand and we should follow God's lead. Look at verse 23. The chief jailer did not supervise, look at this, did not supervise anything under Joseph's hand or charge because the Lord was with him. Oh, there it is again. You see, he sees it. The chief jailer sees it. The Lord is with him. It says, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Wow. You know, there are some people who believe you cannot live in a way that is pleasing to God. Some may not believe that people can live that way. Some people just, you know, oh, that's just, there's no way they're that good. There's no way that they really follow God in that way. There's no way that they're that and the correct use of the word pious, that pious. They're that into following the Lord. Some people just can't believe it. People, look, let me just put it this way. Have you ever run across someone who questioned everybody's motives? You ever done that? I've run across people. Somebody does something really nice. Oh, yeah, they did it for the recognition. Oh, somebody does something really nice. Oh, they did it because they're getting something out of it. They're getting some money out of it or something. It's like, my goodness. People just simply can't believe that sometimes there are children of God out in our world who live for God and live their lives unto God and seek to do that which pleases Him. There are people who just can't believe that. But when a life is consistently lived in that way, people will believe. Potiphar, he saw the Lord was with Joseph. He watched how Joseph conducted his life. Wow. This guy's for real. The chief jailer, this guy's for real. Amazing. This guy's for real. Potiphar's wife, oh no, I don't see. No, he's an object to me. But when you consistently live your life in a way that is pleasing to God, other people will see it and they will believe it's possible. You can show that it's possible to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. You can show others that. They can see that in you. Let them see it. Oh my goodness, let them see it. How much or how are you living your life? Are you living it above reproach? Do you live a life with integrity? Do you live a life that is pleasing to God? I can't answer that question. I can answer from my opinion, from my view as your pastor. I can step back and look and say, But what do others see in your life? What do people out in our community see when they look at you? What do they see? Do they see somebody like Joseph, who the Lord is with them and he's doing the right thing? He's seeking to do the right thing. He's fleeing temptation when it happens. I mean, he's not entertaining. He didn't entertain Potiphar's wife in any way. He didn't say, No, he's like, nope, this is a sin against God. I'm out of here. And then he winds up in jail. Oh my goodness. But God is with him. God is with him. You do the right thing. You follow the Lord Jesus. You give your life to Him. You live according to His will and His ways. When you do this, the Lord is with you.
Yes.
The Lord is with you. And it doesn't matter if you wind up in jail. The Lord is with you. It's going to work out. As believers, our godly conduct will be evident all around us. As believers, we need to be on guard against immorality. Yes, we do. But as believers, we may encounter also some who cannot believe that we truly seek to live a life that is pleasing to God. Just know there's going to be people that are going to question your motives. They're going to say, nah, they're just doing it for recognition. They just want people to praise them. There must be some money involved in some way in that because they're just being so consistent in living that life. You just keep on being consistent. You just keep on doing it. Let me, as your pastor, cheer you on. And let me just say to you, live a life that is pleasing to God no matter what people say, no matter what people think, no matter if you get run down in the press for some odd reason. It doesn't matter. As long as you're living a life pleasing to God, that's what matters. And that's what we see in the life of Joseph. It's amazing. We're going to pick up on the next part of it next Sunday. But we're going to look at this. God's hand all the way through. It can be the same for you and for me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, O God, for this day. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the story of Joseph. And Father, we thank you for his integrity, how he stood on what he knew was right, and he lived it out, and he even shared with Potiphar's wife why he was fleeing. Wow. Father, help us to be the same. Help us to stand on the promises of your word, to live out these your word in words and in deeds. Lord, may we truly show that we belong to you through how we live. May we truly be able to show others that we belong to you. God, maybe there's somebody here this morning that has never accepted your forgiveness. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that just wants to say, look, I want Jesus in my heart. I need to be forgiven of my sins. I want God in charge of my life. I don't want to do it alone. I can't. Maybe this morning you need to do that. You need to make that decision. Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, you know, I'm looking for a church home to call my own. I need a group of people around me that can help me, that can be there for me in the highs and in the lows of life. Maybe the Lord is leading you to come this morning and join this church family. Would you do that? Would you come in just a few moments? Father, we thank you for your great love for us. Father, we thank you for empowering us to be who we need to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Words of Encouragement. We do hope that you received some words of encouragement today. Listen, you and I, as children of God, have been empowered by God to be able to deal with what we're facing in our lives here on this earth. With God's help, you and I can make it, but we have to lean on Him. We have to depend on Him, and we need to always be aware of what's happening around us. Temptation comes, just all types of things that occur. We need to be aware. I think you and I are both learning about Joseph and how he handled his life. There's a lot to be said for living a life that is pleasing to God. I hope that you have a relationship with God. If you don't, please take some time to think about it, to consider it, to investigate it. Take some time to consider if you will allow God to forgive you of your sins, to come into your heart, and to be in charge of your life. Take some time. I want to encourage you to do that. I do hope that you are walking with the Lord. There's nothing like walking with Jesus. For more information about our church, you can always go to fbcwinsboro.com. That's fbcwinsboro.com. Most of your questions will be answered by just simply visiting the website. If you have any questions, you can contact us right through that website and ask us what you need to ask us. Listen, we're here. We have big ears, and we want to help if we can. We want to encourage you to walk with the Lord. Until next time, this has been Words of Encouragement, the preaching ministry of the First Baptist Church in Winsboro, Louisiana.